Chapter 26. Beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I think it should be clear to everyone who reads the Word of God that when the Lord Jesus took bread and called it his body, and when he took the cup and called it his blood, that he was speaking metaphorically. This means that he used the bread and the wine as symbols of his body and his blood. The same when he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." No one understands that he is referring to himself as a literal door. The same when he said in John 15, "I am the true vine, you are the branches." In both places, and in this place as well, as I said, he is speaking metaphorically. He uses the bread and he uses the cup, the wine, to represent his body and the wine to represent his blood. As we observe the Lord's Supper, we eat the bread. We eat the bread which represents his body that was broken for us. And we drink the cup which represents his blood which was shed for the remission of our sins. And as we do this, we do show forth his death. The bread is separated from the wine, or the wine is separated from the bread. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And we see these two separated. We know that when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross, that he died. He gave his life a ransom for many. As we observe this ordinance, it's a church ordinance. We don't have the liberty to go in our houses and invite someone over and say, let's just observe the Lord's table here tonight among us few that are here. It's a church ordinance. It is communion, and it is communion to only those who are in union with him. He is in his people by his Spirit, and his people are in him by faith. We have union with Christ, and at this ordinance, as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we have communion with him. Now, we have communion with our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. But the point is, we have communion with Christ. We commune with our Savior, our Lord, as we observe this ordinance. Tonight, I want to speak to us from three sets of two words in this text, verse 28. I want us to look at his words, "my blood, my blood." And then I want us to look at the two words, "New Testament." And then at the words, "for many." So three sets of two words, "my blood, New Testament, for many." First, his words, "my blood." What do we know about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you know about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think with me. If someone were to ask you now, just now, what do you know about the blood of Jesus Christ? What do you know about his blood? How would you answer that? I know that there's many ways we could answer that, but I have four that I'm going to mention to us tonight. There's many others, but this is what we know. And what we know about the blood of Jesus Christ, it all comes from this book. It all comes to us, what the knowledge that we have about his blood, it all comes to us from this book, the written word of God. The first thing that I would mention is we know that his blood is called the blood of God. I want you to look in Acts chapter 20 with me. We're going to look at these verses together tonight. But in Acts chapter 20, when the apostle Paul called the elders of the church at Ephesus together to meet with them for the last time in this world, notice in verse 28, he spoke to them and he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," these are the elders of the church. You know, the preacher, the elder, must take heed to himself, first of all. Take heed to yourselves. That may not mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to me as a pastor. Take heed to yourself, first of all. Take heed to yourselves. It's a big responsibility to be a pastor. And the weight of being a pastor grows heavier as I have grown older. But to know tonight that in one sense of the word, I'm responsible for every one of you, for your soul, that I will have to give an answer one day for you, for what I have preached unto you, the gospel. If I had known when I first started out preaching, I don't know if I would have ever preached. If I had known the responsibility that I know today. I feel in many ways saddened when I see some of these men you see sometimes on television preaching to thousands of people. And you look at them and you realize they don't even know there's a problem, much less know there's an answer. They really don't. They don't realize the responsibility, obviously, or they would not spend their time talking about how you can have your best life now and things like that. Never speaking about sin, never speaking about righteousness, never speaking about regeneration, that is being born again of the Spirit of God. Take heed, Paul said to these elders, take heed to yourself. Take heed. And not only to yourselves, but to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed. That's the pastor's work, isn't it? It's to feed the flock. What did our Lord say to Peter? We read it just a few minutes ago, didn't we? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Not entertain. He didn't say entertain my folks. He said feed them. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures is the word of God, isn't it? It's the scriptures. Feed the flock of God, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you an overseer. Now notice, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Church of God, which he, God, has purchased with his own blood. Now, you know that God is a spirit. God does not have flesh, bones, blood. He is a spirit. The only way that this could be true, and we know it is true, is that the Son of God was made flesh. That is, he became a man, or he took into union with his deity that body which was prepared him, that body that had flesh, that body that had bones, that body that had a soul, that body that had blood. And he gave, he shed his blood, and in shedding his blood, he shed the blood of God because he is God.
That's right.
He purchased his church with his own blood. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the saved, they're his by gift. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. When did God the Father give him his people? You know that took place in old eternity before the foundation of the world. When God established the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, he gave to his Son, his people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We're his by gift and we are his by purchase. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That word redeemed is used today most often when you have pawned something. You take an object that has some worth, some value, and you take it to a pawn shop, and it may be worth, let's just say, $100. He says, I'll give you $50, and you come back in 2 weeks and pay me $75, and I'll give you this back. You've pawned it, and he gives you a ticket, doesn't he? And you come back in 2 weeks if you've got the $75 and you redeem it. You see, we were his by gift, first of all. But then he had to come and redeem us because we had fallen into sin. We had become the servants of Satan. And the scripture says we were taken captive by him at his will. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the scripture tells us, let me read that to us so I won't misquote it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is that? That's Satan. That's the devil. You walked. Everyone who is redeemed, everyone who is regenerated, who is born of the Spirit of God, at one time, before we were born again, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all lived in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that is, by nature, we deserved God's wrath. But we've been redeemed. That's the first thing that I know about his blood. It is called the blood of God, and that blood redeems his people. The second thing we know about his blood, it cleanseth from all sin. Look at that in 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 1. It cleanseth from all sin. In verse 7, we read, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. you ladies, when you go to the grocery store, and you men also, sometimes you do the shopping. They've got all these aisles. In one aisle, they have all canned vegetables and canned meat on another aisle. And then they've got one aisle, it's just filled up with cleansing products, all different kinds of cleansing products. Why is that? Well, competition, that's for sure. But one cleanser will cleanse, or supposedly will cleanse this kind of spot, this kind of filth. Another cleanser is good for some other kind of spot or filth. You got different kinds of cleansers, don't you? But there's only one cleanser that cleanseth from all sin. Amen. It cleanseth from original sin, that which we inherited from our father Adam. We came into this world sinners by birth. And when you look at the news, when you read the newspaper, if you do, or read online, isn't it obvious? Don't you wonder how anyone could live in this world and not realize something is wrong? Something's gone bad wrong. The killings and the robbings and the raping and so many things that we hear of every day, something's gone wrong. What is it? It's sin. It's sin. That's very obvious, isn't it? It's sin. Because men are sinful creatures. And the only thing that cleanses from sin, we see of wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, all of these various things that we hear and read about, they're all in this world because of sin. Because of sin. But yet, thank God, you and I tonight, we know no matter what the sin is, and there are different kinds of sin, I realize that. There's a sin of rebellion. There's a sin of stubbornness. You know, have you ever thought about that? God calls stubbornness as the sin of witchcraft. There's presumptuous sin. David asked to be cleansed from the sins of his youth. And there's sins of ignorance. There's all kind of sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. All sin. Here's the third thing we know. We know that His blood speaks. It speaks. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. The writer tells us it speaks better things. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that His blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood, it spoke to God.
Yeah, that's right.
It spoke to God. His body was buried. Cain, his brother, had killed him. His body was buried in the ground, but his blood was crying to God for vengeance, for justice. The blood of Jesus Christ, it speaks. It speaks better things than the blood of Abel. What does it say? What does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ say? It cries for forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It cries for acceptance. Father, accept them. Put that on my account. Don't you love that story of Philemon? Onesimus wasn't worth much, Paul said. He's been an unprofitable servant to you. But now the Lord saved him, and he's not only profitable to me, but he'll be profitable to you, Philemon. Forgive him. Receive him now, not as a servant, but as a brother. And if he owes you anything, put that on my account. I'll pay it. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, for all of his people? Put that on my account. I'll pay. And he did pay. And his blood. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. If any man sin, and all men do sin, if any man says that he has no sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And as I said just a moment ago, there are sins of ignorance, and sometimes we may sin, not even realizing that we have sinned, but always we have an advocate with the Father. And even when we sin presumptuously, still we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He doesn't deny that his people have sinned, but he advocates for us. I've paid for that sin. Forgive that sin. I've paid for that. Here's the fourth thing that we know. And back in our text, we know that his blood is called the blood of the New Testament. This is what our text tells us tonight. And that brings me to the second set of the two words, New Testament. Look here in our text, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. Now, I took the time this past week in preparing these notes to look at the Greek word, which is translated, is found 33 times in the New Testament. It's found 33 times in the New Testament. And of those 33 times in the King James translation, 20 of those times is translated covenant. 20 of the 33 times, they translated the same Greek word by the word covenant. 13 times, they translated it testament. This is my blood of the new covenant. The New Testament. The New American Standard Bible, some of you may have that translation. In all 33 of the times that the word covenant is in the text, it is always translated covenant. Always. It's never translated testament. In Hebrews, now the reason I'm saying this, in Hebrews, the apostle tells us of what is recorded in Exodus chapter 24. And that is when that old covenant, the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel at Sinai, When it was validated, it was with blood. I want you to look at that in Hebrews 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9. In verse 18, wherefore, Hebrews 9, verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament, covenant, it was a covenant, was dedicated without blood. Neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God hath enjoined upon you. He didn't, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave this word that we're looking at tonight, he didn't say, this is my body of the New Testament, speaking of his body, the bread, but he said, this is my blood of the New Testament. What I'm saying is that testaments or covenants were validated or ratified by blood. That first covenant, the covenant that the old covenant, I should say, not the first covenant, but the old covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. As we read here, Moses took the blood of animals, and with hyssop and scarlet, he put it down in that blood, and he sprinkled the book that all these words were written in, the covenant. He sprinkled the book, and he sprinkled the people. The covenant was validated, that old covenant. Now, look here in Hebrews 8. In verse 11. This is the new covenant that God promised that he would make. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all that shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now, what I am pointing or saying to us tonight, that when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, when he shed his blood, he ratified the covenant, the everlasting covenant, which we most often call the covenant of grace. And just as a sort of a byproduct, I guess, let me point out three differences between that old covenant that the writer of Hebrews is talking of here and the new covenant. The new covenant has the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest. That old covenant had Aaron as its priest. And when Aaron died, his son, and when that one died, his son. On the Day of Atonement, the only day in the year when a man, a priest, went into the Holy of Holies and never without blood. But do you remember the first thing he did, the first time he went in there twice, actually. The first time he went in with some blood, and he was making an atonement for his sins. For his sins. Yeah. And then when he came back out, he took the blood of the Lord's goat in to make atonement for the sins of Israel. This covenant, this new covenant, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. He never had to make an atonement for his sins, for he had none. But he made an atonement for the sins of his people. A second thing, the new covenant has the Lord Jesus Christ as a mediator. He's a mediator of this covenant, this new covenant. You know who was the mediator of the old covenant? Moses was. He's the one that went up on the mountain and got the word from God, brought it back down. And the people wanted that. They were afraid. Because when God came down on that mountain with its smoking and the loud noise and the voice of God and everything else, they said, Moses, you go up there. You be the one who gets the word and brings it back to us. He was the mediator. Moses was faithful in all his house, but I would just remind us of this, that at one time, you know, Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth, but he got mad, didn't he? He got upset with those people who were part of that covenant. He said, you bunch of rebels. You bunch of rebels, must we get water out of the rock for you again? And he struck that rock. God had told him to speak to the rock. What a difference, right? The mediator, our mediator, he never speaks to his people like that. You bunch of rebels. Oh, no. No, he says, my sheep, my sheep. And a third thing that I'd point out, the new covenant has the Lord Jesus Christ as a surety. That old covenant did not have a surety. Everyone stood for himself. Everyone stood for himself. Each person had for himself to perfectly obey that covenant law. They had to perfectly love the Lord God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, and with all their strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ stood. He's the surety of this covenant. The last set of words for many. This is my blood. Whose blood? The blood of God. This is my blood. Of what covenant? The new covenant, which is shed for many. For many. The many for whom he shed his blood to remit their sins are the many who were given to him. They are the many that he called his sheep. He told some people one day, and you can read this in John chapter 10, he said, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. That's the reason you don't believe. You're not my sheep. His sheep believe. His sheep hear his voice. His sheep follow him. And the scripture says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. The many. The many are those that the Father gave to him. The many, as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's what the scripture says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. I pray the Lord would bless these words.